You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Recently, Todd, who is my co-host today, and my name is Daniel, recently re-released our most recent newchurches.com course that's all about guest services.
Ooh.
So this is where we have Danny Franks, who is the Connections pastor.
He's the best in the business.
Yeah, he is. And I mean, he's the reason Summit Church is the way it is.
To a large degree.
The assimilation.
To do with
yeah.
but no, you know, they do a great job of taking people from the parking lot all the way through and really addressing almost the theology of guest services.
Yeah.
Is something that he addresses, as well as the practical piece.
Yeah. So you can get more information on that course and also purchase it to help train your volunteers and leaders so that you can create a culture to ensure that you can turn first-time guests into committed members by going to newchurches.com/guest services. Well, we haven't done this in a while.
No.
And we have not asked people to leave rating and reviews.
Oh, please leave a rating and review.
So what we'll do is, next time we get together, we'll actually, in a couple episodes, we will start reading them out again and sending swag out for the best ones.
Yeah. We got new swag.
Yeah, we do have new swag. So be sure to send that out. And today, let's answer this question, or hear it first, from Tim Zuck. Let's see.
Hey guys, Tim Zuck here from Forks Community Church in Easton, Pennsylvania. My question is this. What factors should a church plant consider before changing a service from a Sunday morning to a Saturday night? Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, we've answered questions on service times.
Yeah.
Having
usually
it,
it's an additional service. Though.
Exactly. And we'll put those links in the show notes. But yeah, to change a service from Sunday morning to Saturday night.
That's a big matzo ball, my friend.
And unless you're Seventh-day Adventist or Seventh-day, I mean, there are Seventh-day Baptists that are a part of our CPLF gathering, then, I mean, theologically, I mean, you would obviously have reasons to go to a Saturday night theologically if you're in those I don't denominations. But otherwise,
personally, I don't have a theological issue with what day of the week it is. I think your uphill battle is even your non-Christian, secular, whatever you want to call them, the people you actually want to come to your church so they know Jesus. Even those people have, in their mind at least, go to church on Sunday morning. So if you want to completely blow that up, that's fine. But my guess is that a large part of your constituency is already well-worn in that habit of going to church on Sunday morning. And you know, that's been so ingrained into our society and culture that I think it's a hard thing to overcome. But you may say, no, that's part of our strategy, and that's fine. But man, I would have a completely different thing to say about starting a service, an additional service on Saturday night, but transitioning an existing Sunday morning service. That's going to be difficult.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at Tim's website. He looks like a smart guy there in Pennsylvania. He's ForksCommunityChurch.org. And what I see, because I think we need a little bit more context in order to help and answer this question. I see that you guys are currently meeting Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at a retreat and wellness center. So perhaps it's because he's losing his location. Right. He has to move, or there has to be some sort of transition that's happening where you can't find another location on Sunday morning in your vicinity. So if that's the case, then I would really take a look at where everyone in your church lives. Right. See where everyone lives. Even have a poll right before saying, hey, we're going to move to Saturday night. I mean, ask a few questions, do a little discernment to say, okay, if we need to move out, we can't find another location in our vicinity. So we can either go to a different location Sunday morning, 10 miles away, right? Or we go Saturday night in the same location. How many of you would come? And another question that you would want to ask is, for everyone that you are investing into and praying for and wanting to invite to be a part of our church and our community, would they be more likely to come Saturday night or Sunday? Because, I mean, Pennsylvania, it's a different setting than Alabama, right? Or Tennessee, or even Southern California or the Pacific Northwest. So, I mean, those would be some good questions that you'll want to ask yourself, Tim, and ask your church for their opinion.
Totally. I would say two books I would tell you to take a look at. First is Cotter's book on change.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that book, he walks through seven steps. He breaks those down into three categories. The first three are create a sense of urgency, then build a guiding coalition, build guiding teams that help you, you know, buy in. People are not going to necessarily follow a vision that you set out for them that you created on your own. You need to do that with them. And then, you know, get the vision right. Get what, you know, why, the why right. You know, start with why, make sure it's a strong why. So that first, those first three are creating a climate for change. Okay, the next is engaging and enabling the organization. So the next three steps are communicate, for buy-in. That's the broader. So you've built, you know, a coalition that's there with you behind the scenes. Now from the pulpit, you're talking about, hey, I'm communicating for buy-in. I'm enabling action, you know, showing how we're going to transition to this, that, you know, we're going to start to have these gatherings on Saturday night. That's not necessarily a service, but we're using them as a step, an interstitial step to get us there. And then finally, the last piece of that is create short-term wins. And that is, you know, having the goals of getting these people to these things, these interstitial steps, whatever you want to call them. And then finally, the last phase is just two parts, and that is implementing the change. So it's going ahead and, you know, eat the frog, launch your new service, and don't let up and make it stick. Those are the last two pieces. So create a sense of urgency, build a guiding coalition, you know, build a strong team on the back end, get the vision right, be sure they buy into it, communicate for buy-in to everybody, enable them to help you in the process, create short-term wins, hold those up in front of people, don't let up, and be sure you make it stick.
Yeah, I love how you shared that. And I also want to mention Tom Rainer's book, Who Moved My Pulpit? Yeah.
Because it's contextualized specifically for the church.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the eight steps that he suggests in Who Moved My Pulpit are similar to Cotter's, but it's different because you're right. It is contextual to the church. So the first step in that one is stop and pray. Step two is confront and communicate a sense of urgency. So that's what Rainer did there was instead of starting with communicating a sense of urgency and creating that,
prayer.
It's starting with prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
Step three is build an eager coalition. So that's really that whole idea of asking who else, asking people in your church, hey, who else thinks we should move the service? Or if Saturday is the way that you want to go, then and having people who are on board and who can communicate that with you. Step four is becoming a voice and a vision of hope. Step five is dealing with people issues because anytime change happens, it's not even like you're changing from 10:30 to 10 o'clock. I mean, if you're going to move to Saturday night, I mean, that's a huge
change,
right? So you're going to have people issues. You're going to lose people. But if you sense God is leading you that way and you've done your research and you know that you're going to be able to hit a different segment of your city and the ones that you're wanting to reach out to because of that change, then you have to lead with that vision as well. Six is move people from an inward to an outward focus. Seven is pick low-hanging fruit, which is really that idea of communicating
wins.
Yeah, and then step eight is implement and consolidate the change.
What was six again?
Six is move from an inward focus to an outward focus.
So that's a big part of that vision piece, and that's a big part of maybe why you're moving Saturday night. And I would also say that, guys, this isn't just for a moving night of the week. Those steps can be moving from pews to chairs mm-hmm. in your sanctuary. It could be moving service times or worship style. Anytime you're going to move, something like that or change something like that, it's a big deal. So that was the second book I was going to mention is Dr. Anders' Who Moved My Pulpit. And it's honestly much easier to read and implement because it's not a business book. It's meant for the church. And, you know, even in helping build a guiding coalition, a team to kind of walk through, it's meant for people to walk through as a group. So you can get that and do that with a core group and have everybody bought in and moving in the same direction.
Yeah. I mean, I love this one quote. It's my favorite quote from, Who Moved My Pulpit. It takes courage to be a change leader in the church. Opposition and resistance often come frequently and fiercely, but too much is at stake to do otherwise. The choice is simple: change or die.
I would drop these mic, but they're far too expensive.
Yeah.
They don't belong to me.
Right. So, Tim, I hope that was helpful and really gave you some context. We can't say, hey, we think it would be a good idea to move Saturday night. Obviously, both of us personally think Sunday morning's a bit of a better time to have a church service. If you're adding a service, I've definitely seen a lot of benefits from to having an additional service on Saturday night. But I hope that was helpful as you discern and seek God in this decision. Now, if you haven't yet submitted a question to our podcast, be sure to do so. You can go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or if you're on your phone, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, and we will catch you next time.